Do you know a student getting ready to go to college? Or are you looking at going back to school yourself? The Woodward Hines Education Foundation and the Get to College program help more Mississippians get to and through college to get certificates and degrees that lead to meaningful employment. They offer free college planning advice, including hands-on FAFSA completion assistance through in-person or virtual appointments. Visit gettocollege.org to learn more.
Good morning. It's 8:30 on Wednesday, April 10th. I'm Desiree Frazier. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. On today's show, severe thunderstorms are sweeping through Mississippi today. We're speaking with the National Weather Service. Then, the Mississippi Department of Transportation says they need more funding to keep states' roads and bridges safe. Plus, the debate continues over Mississippi lawmakers intervening in the state employees' retirement system. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. The outbreak of storms sweeping across Mississippi are expected to continue and possibly grow more severe throughout the day. Starting around 9 this morning, forecasts predict damaging winds of up to 70 miles per hour. Tornadoes are likely in the state's southern and central areas, so is the chance of hail. On the phone with us now from the National Weather Service in Jackson is meteorologist Mike Hill. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Thank you for taking time out to be with us to help our listeners know what is going on. The storms began last night. What are we going to see today?
Well, you know, last night we had a lot of storms that moved through and prompted a tornado warnings across, you know, the Jackson metro area. Those storms have gone on to, you know, Alabama, but we're turning our attention now to storms that are going to be impacting the extreme southern part of Mississippi. We're talking about from Adams, Franklin, Lincoln, Lawrence, Jefferson counties southward. So we're seeing a line of storms right now across southeast Louisiana that will move through to southern portions of Mississippi, and that has been already producing winds up to 80 miles per hour down there. Now, if we go closer to the Jackson metro areas and points northward, the severe threat actually has diminished significantly. As we had those storms last night, we had rain overnight, and that rain-cooled air has really squelched the instability or the fuel for the thunderstorms to become strong to severe, and that has really pushed all that energy south. So I would say if you're in the Jackson metro areas along I-20 and points northward, you're probably not going to see much of anything, which is the good news for Mississippi.
Did a tornado touch down in Raymond last night?
We had some preliminary reports. We had a radar-confirmed tornado. I think we're going to go out and take a look at it this morning. But that's the only thing that we had. Everything else was really straight-line winds. As you guys know, here in Jackson metro area across Vicksburg, there was numerous trees, numerous power lines blown down. That's not tornado damage. That was just all those straight-line winds.
Talking about flash flooding, there are flash flooding warnings across much of the state. What does that mean?
Well, that means that we had lots of rain at a short amount of time that caused lots of ponding on the roads or water over roads, creeks and ditches that bank full, and, you know, maybe even some impedance to some people that live along the rivers and creeks that might have, you know, some issues with, you know, homes and stuff. But that just means that we had a lot of rain and there could be some impassable roads. So if there's barricades around the area, the police and, you know, your departments have them blocked off, just don't go down the flooded roads. And we still have those warnings up as we're going to see some more rainfall come through the area today. So we might not get the severe thunderstorms part of it, but we will get additional rain. So everything is already fairly wet. And so any rain on top of that will only contribute to more flooding.
And even if the roads aren't barricaded, if they're covered with water, don't drive through them, correct?
Absolutely, because you just don't know if everything is still there or how deep the water is.
How long will this rain and thunderstorms go into the night?
Well, the good news is that, you know, once these storms move through, it'll be over, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock, you know, for the entire state. So we won't have an overnight threat. It'll be all during the day, and we should be able to sleep well tonight and peacefully tonight after these storms move through this afternoon.
Okay, and then the cold front comes through tomorrow.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time and speaking with us, meteorologist Mike Hill with the National Weather Service in Jackson. Thank you.
Thank you.
A list of storm shelters and safe rooms are open today, and you can find them online at the Mississippi Emergency Management Agency's website. That's msema.org. And when today's storms subside, emergency managers say damage can also be reported online at MEMA's website.
MPB Think Radio, whatever your taste, news, music, storytelling, or how-to shows, whatever your city, Natchez, Jackson, Tupelo, Cleveland, however you want, radio, smart speaker, smartphone app, MPB Think Radio.
An evening of jazz can be just what the doctor ordered. Join me, Meredith Michelle, with WJSU's Evening Jazz, 7 to 10 weeknights on MPB Music Radio.
This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. I'm Desiree Frazier. All three of Mississippi's transportation commissioners are calling on lawmakers to increase road and bridge funding before the end of the session. Mississippi has around 30,000 miles of road and nearly 6,000 bridges. The majority are on the brink of crisis. And if they aren't properly funded, according to the commissioners, there are going to be serious problems. Southern Transportation Commissioner Charles Busby says the legislature has provided some temporary funding in recent years to hold them over, but he says they need reoccurring revenue to keep up with the growing need for repairs and new projects.
We have 300,000 more vehicles on our roads today than we did in 1987. The increased usage, low revenue, and inflation are creating a dire situation for our infrastructure. One-time money provided by our legislature allowed us to begin capacity projects again that had been shelved for 10 years due to lack of funding. Without sustained funding, this program will once again have to be halted. The cost of maintaining our system has risen with inflation like everything else. The lottery funds from the 2018 special session are helping, but we still fall woefully short on the dollars needed to keep our roads in good repair. Allowing roadways and their beds to degrade to the point that both must be replaced will be a financial deficit that is insurmountable. The responsibilities of our legislature are daunting, and these times provide more challenges than most. They have an extremely important issues to deal with, such as school funding, Medicaid, the public retirement system. Maintaining our infrastructure system and constructing new where our safety is involved and where economic growth is available is equally as important and a core function of government. If we don't fix our roads and bridges, no one else is going to come behind us and do it. I wish to thank the members of our legislature who have tried to address this issue and have drafted bills that would do just as what was needed. I would implore the legislature to find creative ways to avert this crisis. Many good ideas for funding mechanisms have been discussed. Most did not call for increasing taxes. The cost of fixing this issue will not be small, but it will be minuscule when compared to the price of doing nothing.
Together, the commissioners estimate $9 billion alone is needed for capacity projects or expanding roadways to current or projected needs. They also say an additional $400 million is required annually to properly fund ongoing maintenance projects. John Caldwell is a Northern District Commissioner.
Speak from the heart a little bit, if you don't mind, but one thing I've been impressed with since I got into government is the people across the street are good people doing good work for the taxpayers. They're doing it in a screwed up system that leaves us shorthanded on money and assets to take care of the roads and bridges in this state. And we're waiting, but our patience is waning. It is high time that our Mississippi highways become everyone's priority. Year after year, other issues suck the oxygen, money, and blood from the room, and we're left. Pot, PERS, politicians pay. Where's the money for paving and maintenance and construction that we need? That's what we're talking about. When I get on the road, I see people every day, and they're asking about the roads. What about the money? What about the money for the roads? What about the money for the roads? And I don't have them a good answer. As I drive the roads in North Mississippi, I realize that our bridges are failing, our roads are crumbling, and traffic is coming to a standstill, and we got to do something about it. So do we want to fix our roads or not? Mayors, do we want to fix our roads? I know you want to fix the roads because you told me. Supervisors, you want to fix the highways? I know because you told me. School bus drivers, you want to fix the highways? I know you do. You told me. Truck drivers, loggers, farmers, parents of teenagers, university student drivers, you want to fix the highways? I know you do because you told me. Legislators, representatives, senators, lieutenant governor, you want to fix the highways? I know you do. Damn it, you told me. But you got to do it. And it's not going to get done by itself. So everybody tells me we want to fix the highways. Let me tell you about a country song out there. But the lyric says, talk is cheap. And baby, time's expensive. So why wait another minute more? So why are we waiting? What are we waiting on? It is high time that our Mississippi highways, your Mississippi highways, become everyone's priority.
More monies have been redirected to the Department of Transportation in recent years through special programs. The Bipartisan Infrastructure Act passed by Congress, along with a major road and bridge project fund, have helped, according to Central District Commissioner and Transportation Chair Willie Simmons. He says those one-time dollars aren't enough to keep up maintenance and match growth in the long term.
So we are very grateful for that, but we are facing a crisis because in addition to that, here in the state level, we saw an increase in the weights to about 88,000 tons for our highways, which means there's going to be destruction on those highways that's already inadequate and the bridges. In addition to that, Congress is considering for the interstate system putting 88,000 tons on it, which means that those trucks are going to be getting off the interstate and getting onto our system. When you add that weight, it creates a problem, and not having the funding to do so creates a serious problem in a crisis that we are talking about we're leading into. In addition to that, let me just say, and I was in the legislature for 26 years, along with my colleague and I, he and I, Busby, served as chairperson on the Senate and the House side and putting dollars into the Department of Transportation. The only thing we could do was to give the Department of Transportation enough money to survive and kick the can down the road. We got into a maintenance mode where we was not doing any capacity projects. The money that we received recently puts us in a position to do that, but it puts us into a position of investing in right-of-ways, acquisition, into design, but we're not going to be able to complete those projects. We need recurring dollars. And one good example, as I close with it, is what we did in 2018. We used as an example where we could put monies into the counties and municipalities without increasing taxes. The money was coming in through what is referred to as the use tax. And we created a formula where we, the legislature, gave to the counties 15% of those dollars and 15% to the municipalities and 5% to state aid. Since that time, the two payments that go down in January and in July, Department of Transportation could be put into a similar formula into that process. And we had a couple of bills that have been introduced this year on the Senate side by Senator Hobson and Senator Brennan to start us moving in that direction. That would be just one way of doing it without raising taxes. We look forward to having more conversation with the legislation about a diversion use tax that would give us the revenue. Because once again, as the commissioners indicated, we are facing a crisis. And if we don't do something good for the state of Mississippi, we're going to have a problem.
That's Transportation Commissioner Chair Willie Simmons. There is a tornado warning right now until 9:30 for Hancock and Pearl River counties. Move away from any windows into an interior room. If you are in a trailer home, move to a more serious, stable structure if you can. We'll keep you posted. Coming up, the debate continues over Mississippi lawmakers intervening in the state's public employees' retirement system. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio.
Humor, stories, news, music. Our weekend lineup has it all. Tune in to enjoy the relaxed sound of the weekends on MPB Think Radio.
Our goal at Everyday Tech is to keep your technology not only working, but working for you. I'm the host, Abram Naney, and you can join me and my friends Wednesday mornings at 10 on MPB Think Radio. Or search Everyday Tech on your favorite podcasting app or download the MPB Public Media app.
Mississippi Public Broadcasting's Family Fun Day will be in the Pole Gymnasium on the campus of Mississippi University for Women in Columbus on Saturday, April 20th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. MPB has partnered with the Mississippi School for Mathematics and Science, MUW, and the Preservation Society of Columbus to host the free event. Come and meet MPB's own Ed Sed. The whole family can enjoy music, a health fair, games and activities related to science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. Register at education.mpbonline.org.
This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. I'm Desiree Frazier. There is a tornado warning until 9:30 for Hancock and Pearl River counties. Move away from windows into an interior room if you are in a mobile home. Try to find a more stable structure if you can, and we will keep you posted on that. That's until 9:30, a tornado warning for Hancock and Pearl River counties. The Public Employees Retirement System of Mississippi has a revenue problem. Lawmakers are considering how the agency should move forward. The Mississippi Senate votes to strip the PERS board of its authority to raise the rates public employers pay into the system, that along with a few other provisions to maintain it. Republican Senator David Parker of Olive Branch spoke on the amendment he made to House Bill 1618. He says the House's plan would have structured the makeup of the PERS board to political appointments. The Senate's plan doesn't do that.
Let me state this clearly. There is nothing in this bill that will change the membership of the current board. What we are trying to do is to get them the assistance they suggested in the meetings that were held. We got to learn from the board members that they have full confidence in the solvency of the system. In fact, one member commented in jest that as members passed away, the system would become even more solvent, which was greeted by some applause by the people in the gallery. This outlook on his part stated that with time, utilization by beneficiaries would reach a peak and then lower over time, creating a greater financial ability of the system. Number three, we got to learn that the board would like additional long-term planning advice and input, not by changing the board, but by connection with more experts. So as a result of all of this information, the following is being proposed. Most importantly, we're inserting some language that we change section 2511.123 to clearly state that this section shall not be construed with any authority to reduce or eliminate earned benefits by retirees or current employees. Furthermore, this section will not be construed to reduce or eliminate the COLA promises that were made to our PERS members. Secondly, it removes dated language which allowed the PERS board to increase the employer contributions unilaterally. Such increases can possibly raise revenue, but may reduce revenue if schools and cities decided to stop hiring employees as PERS contributors. Number three, it suspends the 2% increase that was scheduled to go into effect on July 1. The cost of this increase would have been $150 million that would have been borne by our schools, cities, agencies, and colleges. Number four, it provides that any recommendations by the PERS board to increase employer contributions be accompanied by two actuarial assessments which are independent of the system and which provide an analysis of the impact to the state, cities, county schools, and other entities. And number five, finally, it clarifies that the PERS board has the authority to recommend the increases, and the legislature, based upon these recommendations, may implement them.
With these changes, Senator Parker says the state will also need to take extra measures to assist in funding the retirement system.
The legislature needs to pay the piper in this situation. We need to add money to PERS. I know I've had conversations and discussions with many of you, including the chair of appropriations, about the desire of this body to add some more money into the PERS system. I look forward to those conversations continuing, you know, with Chairman Hobson and with other people in this chamber so that we can indeed not only make these recommendations that came out of this hearing go into effect, but also pump some more money into the system to bolster it and set the bar higher for our retirees in the future.
While the Senate's plan wouldn't change the leadership of the PERS board, some lawmakers did raise concerns about it taking power away from them. Republican Senator Joseph Seymour, representing Jackson, Stone, and Pearl River counties, asked what this bill could mean for the PERS board and their ability to make independent decisions.
By what we've done doing here in this amendment, we're not restructuring, but we're taking all their authority away, and that all they will be able to do is make a recommendation, and this body and the body of the House will have to appropriate the money. Is that correct?
I would not use that language at all. I wouldn't call it taking their authority away. I would call it bringing them help and more actuarial advice on decision making. You know, and as it is now, you know, anytime there's a change made, it always, you know, there was a consideration last year of raising the employer contribution, and the legislature, I think, pushed back on that enough that was withdrawn. So I think the legislature is always providing input to PERS, and I see us as natural teammates. We're not adversaries. We're working for the same system and the same good for the people that we all represent, and hopefully this will get them, you know, the assistance they need.
But this ain't a teammate. We're going to take total authority of this. The board will only be able to make a recommendation. And my personal opinion is I'm not no financial advisor. And that board is, if we need to give them more help, I'm all glad to do that, but not to take their actual authority away from dealing with the retirement plan.
So I think that the concern that I've heard on that is that, you know, if one of the board's suggestions of raising the employer contribution from 17.4 up by another 10% over years goes into place, the employer contribution moved to 27.4%. I believe every single city that each and every member of this body represents would have to implement a tax increase to make that happen. My goal in this is to provide more of a teamwork type of avenue so that we're working together so that we make these difficult decisions going forward to shore up the PERS system, but also, you know, honor the commitments that have been made to the people in the system. To just say that we're taking something from them, I really get tired of that type of language in this body, you know, but if that's how you want to characterize it, you know, you're certainly welcome to your opinion, but that is far from what I see us doing with the hearings that were conducted by Chairman Johnson and the input that was made by the board members. We're taking their suggestions of how we can provide them the help that they need so that we can get to a good point.
The bill goes back to the House now for consideration. There is a tornado warning until 9:30 for Hancock and Pearl River counties. If you're in those counties, move away from windows to an interior room. If you're in a mobile home, try to find a more stable structure. We will keep you up to date on warnings as they come in. This has been Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio.